I speak to you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. As many of you know, I used to drive a cab in St. Louis, and one of the reasons that I drove a cab was because I said, I want to get to know the city. I want to get to know the people and the neighborhoods and you know, all of that. I want to get to know this town. So I drove this cab, and one of the things is that you are always going into these places that you would never go on your own. You have to go there, so you go them. And there was a quick trip up on Natural Bridge and King's Highway, which is a place that was very interesting and lively, shall we say. And I used to go up there at this quick trip, and I would get I know this is going to shock you, I'd get a hot dog and an iced tea, right? And so I would go there, and they had this guy up on the corner, kind of off on the side of the lot, kind of right by the stoplight. And he would always be kind of standing, you know, like, on a, like basically this box, and he would be preaching, and he looked a lot like John the Baptist or Charlie, and so, you know, and he was up there, and he would say, he'd go, oh, he'll be yelling, and then he'd go, blah, 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 and I wouldn't even know what he would say, and then he would say, come Holy Spirit, and then he'd go on, oh, and then he'd go, and then he'd start talking, and he'd go, blah, 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 and I have no idea what he was doing, and he'd say, come Holy Spirit, and I said, okay, I'm good. So anyways, I'm instead of driving my cab, I am the religious anthropologist that I am. I'm writing this. I'm taking notes. And finally, I think he got so exhausted by bringing down the Holy Spirit. So then afterwards, I go over to him and I say, you know, hey, can I have a moment with you? I'd like to know kind of what's going on here. And I said, if you had to tell me. If you had to tell me, like in a sentence or two, what your ministry is about, what is it? What is your ministry about? And so he says, well, you know, I keep calling down the Holy Spirit. I want people to know that Pentecost is still happening. I want them to know that God is still sending the Holy Spirit down upon them. Come Holy Spirit. You know, now, you know, in my head as a, you know, good Episcopalian, I'm thinking, well, you know, Pentecost happened 2,000 years ago. Let's not get too close to the Holy Spirit here, okay? I mean, we don't want to get too involved with the messiness of the Holy Spirit, right? So, you know, I know, right, Josh? We don't want to get too close to it. You know, we might actually have to make some changes and adjustments in our lives if we actually got too close to the Holy Spirit. So I get back in my cab, and I'm thinking about this, and I mean, by all external appearances, this man is crazy, right? I'm sorry, Charlie. But this man was crazy, and I thought I cannot be giving too much of my brain space over to somebody who, in the terms of the world, is clearly crazy. I mean, I love the Quick Trip at Natural Bridge and King's Highway, but I got to tell you, I wouldn't be standing out there for much more than about 5 minutes, right? And so I'm thinking, I'm just like I. You know, I said, I know Pentecost happened all the way back there, but I'm not sure I want to get too close to anything that the Holy Spirit would actually ask me to do and be, right? And so, you know, once again, the problem with Christianity and Revelation in particular is this: as much as I might want God to fill my heart, I also know that I'd rather be in control of what he says to me than him. I know that sounds ridiculous, right? You know, okay, God, come and speak to me. Maybe give me a little pep talk and all that, but don't ask me to do something really crazy. I mean, I don't want that, right? Okay, so now, that's this guy calling the Holy Spirit down. One, and I'm thinking, you know, if I get too close to this, I'm going to wind up on a street corner with this guy. Okay, well, thankfully, I'm not on that street corner, and I'm not next to that guy. I'm here with all of you, so the next craziest thing happened to me. So our reading today from Acts is really one of these great mysteries of the church, right? And in many ways, it was prophesied well before even Jesus came on the scene, right? It was prophesied well before, and Peter is going to let us know about that. However, none of the disciples could have understood the ramifications of what the Spirit was going to ask them to be and do. Yes, Jesus, at the Last Supper in John's Gospel, tells his disciples, hey, look, you're going to get an advocate. You're going to get the Holy Spirit. Look, something is big is going to happen to you, and it's going to happen in ways that you can't understand. Now, when Jesus ascended, he did say to them, look, you got to go to Jerusalem, and you got to wait for the Holy Spirit to come. And so there they are waiting for the Holy Spirit to come. I can only imagine, like, the disciples kind of each day after Jesus ascends, going out to the mailbox, looking in the mailbox, you know, well, has the Holy Spirit come yet? Is he in there? Is there a letter that has come from the Holy Spirit? And of course, the Holy Spirit comes in a way that is so radically uncontrollable. Hey, the beginning of this is like Pentecost comes and the Holy Spirit comes down in a rush of wind and noise. It is clear that the disciples are no longer in control of what is happening. The Holy Spirit now is in control of what is happening. It comes down with a rush of wind and a clatter of noise, and it announces itself. This experience of grace is not just personal. This experience of grace is happening not only internal to them, but all around them and external to them. This is something that is happening in the world and for the world, not just for the disciples. And there they are. There they are. And lo and behold, they wind up having tongues of fire on their head. And not only that, but the next verse says, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. So not only were the tongues resting on their heads, but the Holy Spirit comes down and fills their hearts, fills their whole being. Now, we need to back up here. Many of us imagine that Pentecost is this Christian feast because the Holy Spirit came down. Except Pentecost, which means 50th or 50 days, right? It is built off of the scaffolding of a Jewish feast. And that is the feast of Shavuot. Is that right, Michael? What's the Hebrew on there? I can't remember. Shavuot, yes, okay. So now, this feast day was celebrated for two reasons. First was that it was the celebration of the fruits of harvesting the fruits of the late spring. I want you to remember that. The first celebration, the reason they were celebrating this feast was because they were celebrating the harvesting of the first fruits of spring. That's the first reason they were celebrating Shavuot. The second reason that they were celebrating Shavuot was because it was a commemoration of Moses receiving the law on Mount Sinai. So what we have here is a celebration of the harvest of fruits, and we have a celebration of the reception of the law by Moses on Mount Sinai. All right, because this is going to be really important, because this day of Pentecost will in many ways be fulfilling that feast of Shavuot. All right? So not only is this feast day radically new and something beyond the control of the disciples, but it is also radically old and something that has been deeply rooted in salvation history. And so the Spirit comes down, divided tongues, fills their whole being, and then the disciples begin to talk in languages that others from all over the known world can understand. And not only does this take the disciples by surprise, it takes everybody by surprise, and they begin to ask themselves, well, wait a second, these are people from Galilee, and normally they can't understand us, and we can't understand them. I mean, they've got this crazy accent anyways. Even if we did know, you know, book Hebrew or book Aramaic, we wouldn't be able to understand them anyways. But here we are understanding what they are saying. And there it is. Of course, some people say, what does this mean? And others say, they must be drunk with new wine. Now, of course, Peter will say, oh, no, it's 9 o'clock in the morning. There's no way anybody could have drunk that much wine by 9 o'clock in the morning. Now, what Peter didn't know is that the 8 o'clock people here at Holy Cross drink a lot of communion wine, right? That's where you go if you want to be drunk a new wine at Holy Cross at 9 o'clock in the morning. You go to the 8 o'clock service, right? So now we've got a conundrum, which is, what the heck is going on? And Peter makes it very clear. What is going on here is the gift of the Holy Spirit coming down, and the gift of the Holy Spirit changing us from one thing to another thing. Before this happened, we were disciples of Jesus. We were learners who followed Jesus. Mathetes. We were disciples and no more. Here was Jesus, we go over here. Here is Jesus, we go over here. Jesus, here, there, everywhere. But now we are becoming apostles. We are becoming ones who now are going to be sent out into the world to announce the good news. And so Peter is telling everybody, this isn't new wine. This is the Holy Spirit equipping us to do Jesus' work and ministry in the world, no longer following him around, but going to all of the whole world. And a sign of that is that we've been given the tools to do the very things he has called us to do, which is to be able to speak languages that we on our own were never able to do. And he says, not only have we received this sign, but if you look back to the prophecy of Joel, what you'll find out is that many of the things that Joel was talking about are happening right here on this day. And not only that, but it's so much bigger than that. Now, what we don't realize, because the lesson is cut off right after the prophecy finishes, what we don't realize is this. Peter's going to go on to say this. Guess what? Today is the day that Joel was talking about. Today is the day of Pentecost. Today is the day that Jesus promised us. Today is the day that we are receiving so much more than we could ever imagine. And guess what? It was prophesied all the way back in the time of Joel. And not only that, but what Peter's going to realize and all the disciples are going to realize is that Pentecost is not just an event. It's not a day. Pentecost did not just happen 33 AD in Jerusalem. Pentecost is the ongoing process of the Spirit being poured out on the church. Pentecost, in other words, is happening today. And Pentecost happened yesterday and tomorrow and the next day, all the way until the last day when all will be all in Christ. The good news of what Peter is saying is this. This is the new reality of how God interacts with us. God comes into our heart. God transforms us by the power of the Holy Spirit, and God equips us to do what he calls us to do. Now, I got five takeaways, five. Five takeaways for you. The first is this. Pentecost is external in the sense that it is beyond the internal dimensions of the disciples, right? It's not just happening in me or in Patsy. The beginning of this experience and this event makes very clear this is happening beyond just the disciples. The second is this. It is internal. The disciples are filled with the Holy Spirit. The third, it is communal. Not just one disciple gets the Holy Spirit. All of the disciples get the Holy Spirit and have tongues resting on them. And all of the disciples are participating in the ministry that the Spirit is calling to them. Fourth, it is interpersonal. What the Spirit has given them to do is to interact better with others, to be able to bridge the seemingly unbridgeable gulf of unintelligibility. Now they are able to speak coherently and understandable to others. And fifth, it is missional. It calls the disciples to take the mission and ministry of Jesus Christ out not only beyond Jerusalem, not only beyond Israel and Judah, not only beyond that hill over there, but to all of the known corners of the world. The good news then is preached knowing that no disciple does it alone. No disciple is the beginning and end of what it means to be transformed in the Spirit. Now, what we also learn in this experience is this. The speaking of the truth of the great deeds of God in Jesus Christ is never just about words. Look, we got more information about stuff than we could ever hope to imagine. We got this great project of AI happening, which will give us even more information about stuff. We got so much stuff about stuff and information about stuff that we don't know whether we're coming or going, right? And so what happens here is this. The people who hear in their own language about Jesus Christ and the truth given to them, not only hear and recognize the words, they realize that the words come with the gift of the Holy Spirit. The good news is not just news. The good news is that you are made new in the good news. The good news is that you become who God has created you to be and called you to be when you receive it. I don't know about you, but I wouldn't want a gift that just gave me more information. I'd want a gift so much more profound and deep than that. I'd want one that changed me and transformed me to my very bones. And that's what the disciples and the people there at that first Pentecost received. And let me tell you, as I said before, Pentecost is still going on, and you are still receiving the invitation to receive the Holy Spirit. Now, I have bad news for you. I hate to say this. We've talked about all this good news. The church is an institution, unfortunately. And it has always been an institution to some degree or another. And so if you want a tent revival, you don't need much more than a guy on a soapbox. But if you want people to come and hear the word Sunday after Sunday, you're going to need some order and some rules so that you don't keep bumping into one another. Unfortunately, the problem with all institutions is that eventually all institutions begin to ask the question, well, how do we make ourselves better? How do we keep the institution going? And they forget the question that actually came to them in the first place, which is, how do I receive that life-giving presence of God? Now, since it hasn't been figured out over the last 2,000 years, I'm not going to be so bold as to tell you how to mediate kind of the problems of institutions and the necessity of institutions and the need for the Holy Spirit to always be present. But we have to walk in some ways this crazy tightrope in which we don't blow up institutions, but we ask the institution of the church to always be open to the Holy Spirit. Each and every one of you is here, not just because it's an institution, but because at some point you walked in here and you received the Holy Spirit. Now, is it easy to be the church, Michael? I mean, you've just written a book about how it's not easy being the church, right? Right. Is it easy being the church, Barry? I mean, you were a pastor for 30 years. Right? You must have the secret of success. Is it easy?
Piece of cake.
It's a piece of cake. I'm going to become a Baptist tomorrow. Right. Praise the Lord. Right. It's not easy, right? We live it out day by day, trying to love each other into not only receiving the Holy Spirit, but trying not to kill one another and run each other over. Now, I'd like to say that's a problem only for the Episcopal Church or only for the Presbyterians or the Baptists or only for church in general or only for hospitals or only for schools. It is the problem that comes when people gather together. And yet, even though we have the Book of Common Prayer and the hymnal, and even though we're going to walk up in an orderly way to receive communion, I want you to realize that the whole raison d'etre of doing all of this is that you have been invited to receive the Holy Spirit and be made new again as you were created and called to be by God. So don't ever think you're going to go to some place where it's perfect and all you do is receive the Holy Spirit day in and day out. Yes, today is Pentecost. And yes, today the Spirit is being poured out upon us. And yes, today we are at Holy Cross and it is an institution. But go up there knowing that you have an invitation to participate fully in the Holy Spirit. Fully to do the mission of Jesus Christ. Come, Holy